Then, through a quirk of scheduling, Father Looker gave us another meditation. My God, why have you forsaken me? Now, on the surface, my God, why have you forsaken me? I've heard it preached before. Heck, I might have preached it myself. Jesus was in the dark night of the soul. He felt the full weight of the sin and condemnation on him. He felt total separation from his God. And he was crying out, "Where are you, God?" What he was really doing was quoting scripture. It might have been that, and I'm sure there's some of that in there. But there was something even deeper. Father Looker, do you remember the psalm? 22. Thank you, Father Lon. Psalm 22. We're going to look at Psalm 22 real quick. Because I'm sure you've seen it in movies, the way the Jewish people are portrayed. They are very prayerful people. They had the Wailing Wall. They say prayers over and over, recite prayers over and over. Book of Psalms was their song book. All good, devoted Jews had a group of psalms that were committed to memory. You got to remember, they didn't have written word as we do today. The way you knew the word was to have the word written on your heart, have it memorized. From the cross, Jesus says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Father Looker pointed out, I told you I was going to plagiarize in this sermon, didn't I, guys? I'm using all of you today. when he pointed out, when Jesus cried from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Every Jewish person that could hear that knew the rest of that psalm. It was a prayer. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? And it goes on with the lamenting until it says, but you, O Lord, be not far off. O my strength, come quickly to help me. Deliver my life from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dogs. Rescue me from the mouth of the lion. Save me from the horns of the wild oxen. I will declare your name to my brothers in the congregation. I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. It was a declaration of the word of God from that cross. It was a declaration of an affirmation of salvation coming from God. It wasn't a cry of desperation. It was a physical body that could barely breathe, nevertheless talk, giving starter to what he was really feeling. Isn't that profound? I'm telling you, this service was mining for gold. For pure treasure. Every year. Did I say I can't wait till next year? I just think that it is wonderful. What a great message that a meditation Father Looker gave us. And then we go on to Father Ed, who had "I thirst." Now, for those of us who know Father Ed real well, it will not come as to any surprise. Father Ed gets to that podium, and before he says thirst, he says, "I thirst," he begins weeping. Hey, you're a crier. It's okay, there's no shame. Real men cry, by the way. And I'm one of them. And I don't mind it either. I thirst. Think about this for a minute. Jesus was from the beginning. Jesus was with God. There was nothing created without him. As Jesus hung on that cross and said, "I thirst," the irony of that is the one who is thirsting is the one who created the rivers and the seas. He wasn't thirsting, though I'm sure his physical body was thirsty. He wasn't thirsting for water. He was thirsting to be in the presence of God. It was a spiritual thirst. It wasn't just a physical thirst. It was a spiritual thirst. When we cling to that cross, we thirst for the presence of God in our life. Come on now. This is good. Because I'm teaching myself right now. This is really good. It was powerful. And then we had a dance. And oh my gosh. We had this. We had a song. And we had all that. Remember, you hear these things. They're about 10 minutes long. And then you sit for 5 minutes in silence. As it just gets into you. Notice no phones going off. Nothing. Except you. And that cross. You and the words that your Savior wanted to leave you with as you're sitting at the foot of the cross. Then Father Lon, it is finished. It is completed. God's plan of salvation was done. It was your redemption, my redemption, paid in full. It is finished. The resurrection on Easter Sunday was not the completion. It was the validation. It was the validation that it was finished. It is completed. There's nothing else needed. Okay, remember that thought. There's nothing else needed, because I'm going to get there real quick. I had the honor of doing the last meditation, and these guys just set me up so easy. I didn't have to do anything. I prepared. Because mine was, Father, into your hands I commit or commend my spirit. It is finished. To Father, into your hands. The first thing I noticed is what a difference from my God, why have you forsaken me? To Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. But then, totally unrehearsed, I had found that Father, into your hands I commit my spirit, comes from Psalm 31. Another prayer from the cross. Psalm 31. In you, O Lord, I've taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me. Come quickly to my rescue. Be my rock of my refuge, a strong fortress to save me. Since you are my rock and my fortress, for the sake of your name, lead and guide me. Free me from the trap that is set for me. For you are my refuge. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Redeem me, O Lord, the God of truth. He added one word. From that cross, he made it personal. Instead of into your hands, he added Father. Father, Lord God, into your hands I commit my spirit. Now, what I found Psalm 31 is just like Psalm 22, except all Jews, devoted Jews, knew this for another reason. How many of us have taught our children to pray at night when they're young? Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Well, we don't have a monopoly on teaching our kids routine prayers. This is the prayer that Jewish mothers would teach their children to pray over themselves every night. Psalm 31, ending with, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." The most important things that Jesus said from the cross should not surprise us, because they were all the Word of God. Because He was and is the Word of God. And if it is all completed, if it is all finished, everything else is bonus. Easter is a bonus. Pentecost is a bonus. The filling of the Holy Spirit is a bonus. Wow, have you noticed I haven't even gone to my notes? Thank you. I've just been released by fellow clergy that it's okay. I wanted to recap the Good Friday service. And here comes the random thought. Though it's been pretty specific today. There was a reason. There is a reason that I've been trying to get my arms around why Good Friday is so powerful to me, why it means so much, and why people who participate in the service are always moved, most of us to tears at some point in time. And that is, well, before I give you what I think it is, I talked on Monday to a very good friend of mine that I work with. Very devoted Christian, loves the Lord, raising his family in the Lord, happens to go to an independent charismatic church at this point in time in their life, which I'm very familiar with. I've told you all this before. I was saved in an independent charismatic church. I got baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost in independent charismatic. I thank God for the church that was there for me at my time of need. I asked him, "How was your Easter?" He said, "Oh, it was okay. How was yours?" I said, "Oh, man, it was wonderful. We had, you know, a packed house. The music was great. The readings were great. The sermon was great. It was wonderful." Because it was. If you were here last Sunday, it was off the chain. It was great. It was powerful. And he said, "Well, Easter wasn't real great for me this year, because we had to get the kids ready and they had to be there early for the kids' presentation. Then they were having Easter egg hunt afterwards. And then we had a conflict with my in-laws and my parents of whose house we were going to lunch and whose house we were going." Sound familiar to anybody? Been there, done that. And he goes, "Unfortunately this year, I wasn't able to focus on Easter. I focused on the busyness of it." Look at here. Okay. Now, we've got an inside joke going on here. I know what that's like. I know what it's like being so busy you miss what you're in the middle of. We all do. But when I had Good Friday, it is so much harder to get farther away from that on what happened on Easter Sunday. It made a mark on me. It got in me. And I was over here last Sunday rejoicing because of the exclamation point that was put on Friday. I unfortunately, there are a lot of Christian expressions, forms of worship, forms, styles of coming together in fellowship and teaching that don't have what we have. Here's what we have, in case you're saying to yourself, just what do we have? We have, just like they have, we have the beginning of our salvation by coming to that cross and accepting Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, and knowing that He did that for me. He did that for you. They have that. But that's their beginning point. And then they feel from there they have to mature and grow. Kind of like, you know, a sport. First time you learn to catch a baseball. Or golf. The first time you learn how to, which I'm still working on, learn how to hit a golf ball. You know, you don't rejoice. You might look back on your first day playing. Or even this, your marriage. You rejoice the day you met, but it's so much better today. I hope. Mine is, honey. So much better. Gosh, so much better. I just got to get out there. There is no graduation from the cross. There is no, it doesn't get it, it gets better than this. This is it. You don't mature past it. You don't not need it in your life anymore. You need it every day. Come on. Every day. How does Jesus give us power over temptation? At the foot of that cross, He could have called down legions of angels. He could have took Himself off the cross. But He didn't do it. He might not want to deliver you from what you're going through. He might not. At the foot of the cross, it's His choice, not yours. And you die to yourself and accept whatever that cross has to offer for you. At that moment, in that place, in your relationship, in your friendship, in your job, in your finances. It's not about us anymore. It's all about Him. What happens to those people when they get far away from the cross and Christ is no longer on the cross, but the risen Lord is? The farther away they get from it, the more perverted their teaching gets. I'm sorry, but it's true. We all know people that have been in public eye who have started out well and good intended, they got so far across, away from that cross, that they fell. And we're all left wondering, how did that happen? They were so godly. They were so anointed. They could do this, they could do that, and now look at them. Oh my God, how did that? The devil came in and robbed them. Because they weren't clinging to the foot of that cross. Because at that foot of the cross, nothing else matters except dying to yourself. Whatever God wants to give you, you receive it. Whatever He wants to take away from you, He can have. Because it's no longer about you. It's about Him in the foot of that cross. What do we offer? Every Sunday, this is my body. This is my blood. Bringing us, recalling us, taking us back to the foot of that cross where the sacrifice, our sacrifice, was given. We have a rich heritage, church, in the style of sacramental liturgical worship that we participate in. we have the advantage of knowing how to cling to that cross, reminding ourselves how important that cross is to our very being. You know people who need to know the value of that. We all know people. The conversation I had with this young man, I shared my experience. The phone call went from a 5-minute business call to almost an hour pastoral call. Because this is where this message was birthed, was on that phone call to him. As God just began to show me why our experiences were so different, and it made sense with the Good Friday of why it's always better and better and better. It's more better. Because every year I'm confronted with the reality of just how much I need that cross in my life. And that there's never a graduation from it. It is finished. It is completed. We are completed at the foot of that cross. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.